put your trust too much in money. You see? Some people trust in money as their redeemer. When they have it, they feel like nothing could touch them. They feel like any trouble they get in, they could solve. They like that rich man who said, amen, hallelujah, I'm going to build bigger bonds, amen, and take ease my soul. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy life is required of thee.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another blessed presentation of God's Holy Word with Pastor Omar Tebow. This sermon has been recorded live at Philadelphia Christian Church right here in Lafayette, Louisiana. As always, each audio message is designed to bring you into a deeper knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's go into a sermon that's already in session.
Let's look at our first point. They made a calf. We get this fresh out of verse 41. The Bible says, and they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifices. Unto what? Unto the idol. And they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. The Bible says they made a calf. All right? What we need to understand is that calf worship was a part of the Egyptian religious system. It really was. And their hearts were still in Egypt. So they were still doing things the Egyptian way. All right? Calf worship was a part of the Egyptian religious system. In Egypt, TP, there was three major false deities, false gods in Egypt. All right? There was Ra. All right? Who they considered the sun god. And that's why you'll see his symbol. It's like an eye, amen, in the sun. Amen. And you'll see that still to this day. Amen. They'd use those holy ankhs. It's like a cross with a circle on the top. And that's why you got to be careful the things you wear and the things you put on, different things. Amen. You don't know where that come from sometimes. All right? And it represents false gods and false deities. All right? And a lot of stuff come from Egypt that's still here in our second Egypt. So be careful. All right? And so Ra, the sun, quote-unquote small g, God, was one of their deities. Brother Kevin Briscoe, they also worshiped the Nile River, all right? And so men, they look for things to worship because they know that there is a God, all right? They just don't know who he is in a more specific way. So they worshiped the sun because it looked like the sun gave a lot of benefits to the land. They worshiped the Nile River because the Nile River watered their crops. Amen. They used it for transportation, for water, for drinking. Amen. It was so many things. And so they worshiped the Nile. Amen. They also worshiped cattle. Cows, calves, amen. And this is why we have right here when they say, Aaron, make us a god. Aaron went back to his Egyptian ways and he made a calf fresh out of Egypt. All right? And to study it even deeper, amen, when God plagued Egypt, God didn't plague Egypt arbitrarily, no. God selected the deities that they worshiped when he plagued Egypt. All right? And he wanted to show them some things. You see, he wanted to show to Egypt, to Israel, and to the rest of the world, amen, that these things that you consider gods are not gods. I've created those things. And I have the power, amen, to manipulate these things, and these things can't manipulate me, the Most High is saying. So what he did in his first plague, you want to worship the river and the Nile? The first plague, he had his man stand out there and turn the great mighty Nile into blood. Now what you going to do? What the Nile going to do? Huh? You got the wrong God. So they switch up and they say, well, we're gonna worship the cattle then. And God said, all right, you want to worship the cattle? He walk out there, have his man speak a word, and guess what happened to the cattle? They all fall into disease and disarray. No, you can't worship cattle. You can't worship the Nile. Oh, well, we'll worship Ra and the sun god. Surely he's the most powerful God. And God got his man Moses come out there, amen, hallelujah, snap his fingers, and the sun go out like clap on, clap off. It's dark over there. How long? 3 days. Three dark days. When God was saying, you got it all wrong. The sun is not God. The Nile is not God. And cattle is not God. You understand what I'm saying? God says there's only one and true and living God. And Yahweh is his name. You see? And so we look at those things and we see it was arbitrary. Oh, no. God was putting the world on notice. You see? There's no God but him. But obviously Israel, like always, didn't pay attention to the lesson. They overlooked some things on the syllabus. You see? Because as soon as he pulled them out of that, you know what I'm saying, are basing these false deities. And Moses is gone for too long. They want to make a calf as their God. And they walk up that, these be your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Could you imagine how God felt? Could you imagine how God felt? You see? One commentator says, God made man from the dust. And man is always looking to make a God from the dust. God made man from dust, but man is always looking to make a God from the dust. You see? The Bible says here that they not only made a calf, but they offered sacrifices to the idol and rejoiced in the works of their hands. And what this means is that they took animals and they sacrificed animals to this calf. They danced and they played, amen, even in an immodest fashion. If you remember the story, Moses and Joshua hearing them while they was in Mount Sinai. And they did all this in worship and adoration and praise to this idol. Now, this really burnt God up, Mark, because when you study the wilderness and the 40 years in the wilderness, they never made all that fuss about God. That's why in verse 42, he go to 42 right quick. He tells him in 42, he said, you ain't never did that for me. He says, your house of Israel, have you, hallelujah, offered to me slain beasts and sacrifice by the space of the 40 years you was in the wilderness? You was in the wilderness 40 years. I took you out of Egypt. I fed you, gave you drink. You ain't never offered no sacrifice for me. But you're going to take my praise and my glory and my honor and my acclaim and my accolades, and you're going to give it to this little golden calf who ain't done nothing for you. You see? You see? But man is always looking to ascribe the glory of God to something else. Whether to himself, to someone else, to something else. And God had warned us in his word. He said, I am the Lord. He said, I will share my glory with no other. Come on, give God some glory in his heart. All right. I'm going to talk with you a little bit about idolatry this morning. Amen. And idolatry is a sin that really gets under God's skin, if you know what I mean. He hates it, y'all. He hates it. Amen. Ooh, one of his top sins he hates. All right. All right. How do you know that, Pastor? Because when he went to write the Ten Commandments, he put it as the first two. Number one, thou shalt have no other God beside me. Number two, thou shalt not make any graven images. That's the top two. So you know, coming into the law, that was on his heart. All right? So we're going to talk about idolatry a little bit. Let me give you a definition of idolatry. It's going to be important for you to press in so you can understand this first point, amen, because the second point and third point, we're going to wrap it all up together. All right? Idolatry is number one, when we trust anything more than God. When we trust anything more than God. Number two, when we love anything more than God. All right? Number three, all right, Brent, I kind of mixed up some things on the way here. I hope you got my text message. Number three, idolatry is when we worship anything besides God, all right? That's what they was doing right there. Good job, Brent. That's what they was doing. Amen. And number four, idolatry is when we worship the true and living God, watch this, Brother Harvey, in the wrong way. That's idolatry too. And we'll miss that. Because you could be worshiped the one and true and living God, yeah, but doing it the wrong way. And he qualifies that as idolatry. All right? Is this all right? Is this all right? All right? Here we go. Let's break them all down. We're talking about idolatry. They made a golden calf, and they worshiped, they praised, they sacrificed to what? To the idol. Let's talk about idolatry. All right? Let's take the first one. When you trust anything more than God, it's idolatry. Okay? You see, because we're living in a day where most people are not going to make a golden calf and worship them. All right? At least not in America. They're doing that in other countries. Amen. They're doing that in other countries, in other religions. And, that, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. Amen. But I hope ain't nobody got a shrine up in here worshiping no calf. All right? All right? But we got to be careful, just because you don't worship no calf, You see, idolatry can sneak into your life some other ways. Right? Thomas Watson, in his book, The Ten Commandments, teaches us, amen, that even in the church, we can have idolatry sneaking in upon the people. When we trust things more than God. Well, what are the things that we trust more than God? Some people trust their money more than God. They trust riches. Huh? Thomas Watson said that people look at their money and they look at money as their creator, money as their comforter, and money as their redeemer. Money as their creator. They don't feel like they made until they reach a certain amount of money. And God said a man's life don't consist in the abundance of things in which he possess. You see? You sitting up in here thinking you nobody because you ain't got, hallelujah, a certain amount in your wallet, a certain amount, hallelujah, in your bank account. I'm telling you, you might have slipped into idolatry. Because God tells you who you are, whether you're rich or whether you're broke, amen, whether you got it or whether you don't have it. You're a child of the Most High King. All right? Money ain't made us. All right? Some people look for money for comfort. Amen. Don't feel right unless they have it. Huh? They happy when they get it. They sad when they don't have it. Huh? And nothing really changed in their life but the amount in the bank accounts. And it's affected their mood. You put your trust too much in money. You see? Some people trust in money as their redeemer. When they have it, they feel like nothing could touch them. They feel like any trouble they get in, they could solve. They like that rich man who said, amen, hallelujah, I'm going to build bigger bonds, amen, and take ease, my soul. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy life is required of thee. See, there's some things that money can't buy. There's some things that money can't protect you from. There's some things money can't get you out of. All right? And so when we put our trust in money, amen, it becomes an idol, y'all. All right? You ask Steve Jobs when that sickness jumped on him if money could help him. Money couldn't help him. Money couldn't help him. All right? And the Bible says in Proverbs 10:15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. It's where the walls he hide behind. Amen. Don't ever let that be you. Another form of idolatry, amen, is not only when we trust in money, but we trust in men. We trust in men. Huh? What you mean by that, Pastor? Well, same way. When you have a problem, you don't run to God, you run to men. You run to a man, you run to a woman, you run to a man. Amen. Hallelujah. That's your source of strength. That's your reason for being. Huh? You don't feel made, you don't feel accomplished unless you have the certain praise or appreciation of a group of people. Huh? That's that trust in men. That peer pressure that's on our kids and even today on our adults. Huh? We feel some kind of way unless we accept it in this certain clique, this certain group, unless they think we pretty, unless they think we fast, unless they think we good. Amen. Hallelujah. And we trust in the approval of men. Forget about men. Let God be true and let every man be a lie. What does God say about you? What does God say about you? God say about you, I made everything beautiful in this time.
We pray that you are blessed, encouraged, and challenged by today's message. As always, we would love for you to fellowship with us in person. Our service times are Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Also on Tuesdays, we have midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. We would really appreciate if you would consider partnering with us financially to help keep this broadcast on the air. In order to do so, simply go to the website, philadelphiacc.org, and just click the donate button. And as always, our prayer is that God would richly bless you and keep you and give you peace. Shalom.
EXCM Publishing is grateful to announce Pastor Omar's newest book, Generosity. In this book, you're going to learn what the Bible says about giving. Being armed with this knowledge, you will immediately be able to identify who's playing in church and who's real in church. Giving to the Lord is a proof of your love for Him and your devotion to Him. Generosity, Pastor Omar's fourth book. Get your copy today, available online by visiting extm.org.